Bradley versus Commonwealth, Wayne Town, Wayne Council, Wayne Central, Assistant Attorney General for the Commonwealth.
You may proceed.
May it please the court. Your Honor, this is a case of first impression, and it is one chiefly of statutory interpretation. It's interpreting the statute of 18.2137. As I'm sure the justices have already read the briefs, I'm going to go straight to the point. This statute is unique because it has two methods of calculating loss. And I believe that that is the key to the statute, is these are methods of calculating loss. The two methods of calculating loss for the destruction of property is repair and replacement. And so it makes sense that the standard that the legislature have used would use both of those words, the fair market cost of repair and the fair market replacement value. And that is why those two words are necessary in establishing. One tells you which method to use when the calculation is based on repair, and which standard to use when the calculation is based on replacement. Now, the government in this case...
How are they different?
Well, if an item is scratched or damaged slightly and it can be repaired and the party chose to repair it, then you would use the standard of the cost of repair. In this case, the facts are undisputed that the item was a total loss. And in that case, then you would use the replacement. The reason why it's necessary...
If you can't find a old-for-old replacement, you just can't find one. It doesn't exist. Why wouldn't you get an old-for-new replacement? The same way that auto insurance works.
And I think that is why it's key that the legislature also used the word value. Value is the price or the value it is at the time. And I would point out that the
value, what is at the time?
The value of the item right before it was destroyed.
Why wouldn't it be the value of what it costs to replace it?
Well, then the legislature certainly can use the word fair market replacement cost.
Some people say the two things are synonymous. Replacement value and replacement cost mean exactly the same thing.
Well, for instance, in the case of an automobile, where if I could back up to give a little more context to my answer, the Commonwealth at that point presented what Wegmans did in searching for a replacement. And Wegmans is not the party in this case. And this is a criminal statute, which the Commonwealth is required to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, the trial judge, as quoted by the Commonwealth in this case, says that Wegmans does not need to do a worldwide search to look for a replacement. I actually agree with that statement. Because Wegmans is not a party, Wegmans does not have to prove, and Wegmans certainly doesn't even have to buy an equal value. Wegmans is a business. Wegmans could choose to buy a new model to replace their older model. That's a business decision.
Suppose I were to snip out the word replacement from the statute, just literally just cut it right out of the statute, and linguistically I read the statute exactly as you read it, which is this fair market value at the time of the loss or the stolen moment. Have I changed any of the meaning of the statute at all by cutting out that word from your perspective?
I think you have, because I think... an example of if the statute did not use the word replacement, if somebody were to scratch a $40,000 BMW and the statute says fair market cost of repair or fair market value, therefore a $8 scratch then could be read to be a felony because the value of the object that was damaged was $40,000. And so I believe the replacement is necessary to determine which method of calculation. I also point out that the statute also has the word upon conviction. The court may order that the defendant pay restitution. Restitution is the amount to make the person whole. If the court looks at the statute says to calculate the amount of loss. That is what damage that the defendant did to the item. Now, we believe that reading the statute, if the scale was $800, but the replacement was $4,000, the replacement value would be $800, making it a misdemeanor, but the court can order $4,000 worth of restitution.
So restitution is the conceptual backdrop for this?
I think restitution allows the court to order, is the method where the court can order to make the person whole.
Right, well, so is civil law. And the law of damages, as best I understand it, is that when property is damaged by a tortfeasor and it is obsolete property, either economically or some other way obsolete, and there is no replacement for it, old for old, you can, in fact, order a reasonable damage amount for replacement new.
And damages would still be a sentencing component, where this is criminal liability. What was the actual harm done? What value was the loss? And we believe that that is different. And that is why I have stated that what Wegmans has chosen to do, even if Wegmans didn't do a search and just simply said, you know, why should we buy another scale? Let's say we had this, and that's one of the points, that we don't even know how old the scale was. We don't know the purchase price of the scale. We don't know anything about this original scale. But as a business practice, if you want to get a new scale.
You only go through depreciation when you have a market for use for use, when you're trying to find a comparable substitute, and you need a comparable with the same depreciation schedule baked into it. But if you don't, that's why the, you know, don't go to the world, you know, market idea from the judge sort of makes sense to me, which is if you're not looking for a market old for old and you don't have any choice but old for new, isn't that within the meaning of this language?
See, again, that is, I believe that's in the civil context where you're trying to replace the item. But the question here is what the loss is. The Commonwealth has already conceded that if this was a grand larceny case, that the grand larceny standard has to be what the value of the object was at the time.
Because it's fair market value. It's not replacement value. That's not much of a concession.
Well, I believe, as a policy argument, I believe that giving a higher standard for somebody who steals an item versus somebody who damages an item does not make sense to me in terms of what the legislation intended. The other thing that I want to point out is the fact that there's two measures of damage consideration, that the fact that the Commonwealth and I are arguing about the word value and replacement in this case. If, by the rule of lenity, that the statutes are construed against the Commonwealth, if it is reasonable, even if this court believes that the word replacement is used in the method that the trial court believed, but if it is reasonable that somebody can believe that my definition, where it construes two methods of damage and two methods of calculation loss, then the rule says that it should be calculated in my favor.
The standard is equally likely. The ambiguity is of such magnitude there's equal pose in the two linguistic meanings, as opposed to I can think up another way of looking at this and I can find a dictionary site that says it. Right? Because if that were true, rule lenity would apply to every statute in the code book, because you can always find a dictionary site for something.
I do not believe that it's equal. It has to be reasonable, Your Honor. And that would erase any, just I found a certain definition. Our position, of course,
the
is that
the most recent adjective used by our court was grievous ambiguity. So it's not, it's got to be something more than I can come up with some hypothetical meaning that's not ridiculous on the face of it.
And I do not believe that we are coming up with, I believe that we are actually doing the correct calculation. I believe that Since there's no evidence of the age and depreciation, we don't even know if the original price of the scale was over $1,000. And
what,
I don't
what difference does that make?
Because I think that as part of the calculation, if we're going by my interpretation of the statute, which is replacement value, I think the court, or in terms of value, fair market value, the courts have cited that...
But then you're taking replacement out of the word.
I do not believe, I think I am taking the word replacement. Replacement, I believe, is a signal of which method of calculation to use.
Okay. I'm with you on that.
And so, therefore...
But the method with replacement is what it costs to get something else. It seems like many. That's what replacement means.
And using the statutory interpretation concept, and the statute talks about fair market cost of repair, so the legislature certainly knew what the word cost was and could use the word cost. And if the court believes that the replacement is simply the value that they paid to replace the item, then we believe the legislature would have wrote the fair market cost of repair or the fair market replacement cost. But they did not choose to use the word cost. They chose to use the word value.
But they chose to use the word replacement as well. That's what kind of sticks you there.
And with all due respect, I believe replacement is there to denote which method of the two methods that they are.
Well, typically, the way the law would say it is to say, okay, you've got a duty to repair something if you screwed it up and it's not a constructive total loss. But if it is a constructive total loss, you've got to replace it one for one, which would ordinarily be old for old, like you say, unless there is no old market. You can't find an old for old, which is what the testimony is here. And replacement value then would mean, well, within reason, mitigating your damages as close as you can get, and that's what they did.
And I don't believe the Commonwealth, all they presented was that Wegmans could not find a replacement, and again, Wegmans is not a party. The Commonwealth certainly could have brought, they could have brought an expert actuary to talk about depreciation rates. They could have brought an expert that says that, you know, this is how much the item would be based on X amount of years, and again, we don't know what the X amount of years is.
But the actual finding of the trial court was, quote, the evidence here is that there is no fair market replacement value for this ... scale because it is not available. It does not exist.
And if the court looks at the inside the transcript, the only evidence that was presented was that Wegmans could not find it. And again, it's not Wegmans' job to establish this. The Commonwealth, this is a criminal case, so the standard is beyond a reasonable doubt. I understand that that's what the testimony about Wegmans was. Wegmans presented that, but there was no evidence presented by anybody besides Wegmans. If the court looks at the exhibit says, from the Wegmans retailer or person that they get their items, that there's no other options. It does not exist.
So the trial court can't rely on that? The trial court's going to have some detective show up on the witness stand and say he made a couple of phone calls and that was his judgment too?
In a way, yes, because the standard is it's the government's burden to prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt, and it's not Wegmans' job to prove the case. What the Commonwealth did is they simply put Wegmans on the stands, and they did not do their due diligence and prosecute this case and show the value beyond a reasonable doubt, and it's the government's job to prove this case.
I'm failing to understand why putting Wegmans on the stand to say we looked and could not find another one like this one is not proof
the government puts on. I'm not understanding.
So Wegmans, what they presented was we went to our distributor and our distributor didn't have one.
Right. And what I understand you to say is that the Commonwealth attorney then likewise needed to do a search him or herself, or I'm not understanding why that's not proof, counsel.
It's simply proof that the Wegmans specific retailer distributor did not have one. It is not proof that that does not exist. It is simply proof that Wegmans has one retailer provider that they asked they use, and that retailer did not have an older model. I don't think that is proof beyond a reasonable doubt that there is no market for older models. I believe that that's only proof that the Wegmans specific retailer does not have one in stock. I see my time is coming close to an end. If there's no further questions, thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Mason Williams. I represent the Commonwealth in this matter. Your Honor, as my opposing counsel said, it's again obviously an issue of first impression of interpretation of the destruction of property statute, and specifically the phrase fair market replacement value. Your Honor, it's the Commonwealth's position that the legislature chooses its words carefully. And the legislature has used the phrase fair market value in several other places in the code, namely section 2.2.419, 8.01, 419.1, and 59.1-148.3. The fact that the legislature has used that phrase fair market value in other parts of the code shows that it knows that that phrase exists, and also shows that its decision to not use that phrase, instead introducing that word replacement into that phrase, has to mean something.
Let me ask you this. Assuming what you're saying is right about the way we should interpret the phrase replacement value, obviously it has to be a replacement value that is available, and it has to be supported, at least at reasonable doubt standard, as the most reasonable replacement value. So is the reliance on the Wegman distributor, which is, look, I looked around, I'm telling you, they don't make this model anymore. Wouldn't the next question be, well, who cares about this one model? Aren't there other models like this that do exactly the same thing? Oh, yeah. Do they sell them on the used equipment market? Oh, sure. Wouldn't that be a whole game changer evidentiary in terms of evidence?
Yes, Your Honor, I think it would be, but I think that's exactly what we have in this case, is we have the destroyed scale is replaced by Wegmans through their normal procurement means, and the testimony from the trial court is that it was basically functionally exactly the same, looked the same, worked the same, performed the same function. I think the testimony was that the layout and design were the same, and it looked the same except for the nameplate on there. So in this case, I think this is a perfect example of that fair market replacement value, of that fair market replacement, because Wegmans used its normal procurement process. The scale is functionally exactly the replacement, and I think that's what the language of the statute contemplates.
But his argument, as I understand it, is the Commonwealth didn't go to Best Buy or Sears or the used scale place down the street to see if there was a comparable used sale someplace else.
Yes, Your Honor, and I think that is going to be one of the difficulties under this fair market replacement value phrase. It's going to have to be a fact-specific determination of if this is a fair market replacement. And I think while this destruction of property offense is separate from the larceny offenses, the larceny offenses do use that fair market value phrase defined as the price item would be sold for when the purchaser is under no necessity of purchasing and the seller is under no necessity of selling. And so that being said, adding in that replacement word in there is the process of obtaining replacement whenever, again, the seller is under no necessity of selling and purchaser is under no necessity of purchasing. And thus, Wegmans using its normal procurement methods I think the testimony was this is what Wegmans always does. They submit an order, and then they just got back information from their corporate office that the scale is no longer available, and it substituted in a replacement scale. Again, as the trial court said, the Commonwealth or the victim is not required to scour the world. I think the the victim in this case used its normal procurement methods, and I don't think the statute imposes any duty on the victim or the Commonwealth to, again, scour the world to find that exact scale. And, Your Honor, as I said, I think the crux of this case is that the destruction of property offense and larceny-type offenses are separate offenses. The legislature chose to criminalize different conduct. One of the scale, so to speak, you have something being stolen. The type of harm in larceny offense is that it's no longer there. You don't have it. Versus the destruction of property offense, it's destroyed or it's damaged. And then the legislature is trying to figure out how to make the victim whole. And it's easy to determine what is lost in a larceny case. Again, it's just what was taken, it's gone. You don't have it anymore. Versus the destruction of property, you have an almost infinite range of what can happen. You get a scratch on a car versus the car being totaled, and anywhere in between.
May I interrupt you for a second?
Yes.
What would be your understanding of how this statute should be read if these facts were the situation? You've got a Bzerba scale, is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know, Your Honor. It's good enough
you
for
got
me.
The scale, some model scale. And it doesn't exist anymore. They don't make it. The company's out of business, right? But you can go into the aftermarket market and find a scale that's perfectly functional, that looks good, that is, meets all the necessary criteria for Wegmans, but it's 5 years old. It's been depreciated as roughly similar to this one. Or you can buy a brand new one at 10 times as much that hadn't been depreciated. And if it were true that the old-for-old replacement was of the same level of quality as the damaged old, follow me? So your case is your case is not that. Your case is this model is not made anymore. So they went out and bought a brand new, different model. And his whole argument, when you boil it down to it, is why didn't you guys go out and buy a brand new, older, but still perfectly good, every bit as good as the one that got damaged model? That's sort of, I think, all he's saying, practically speaking. Well, what's the answer to that?
Yeah. I think the first answer to that is, again, the through Wegmans' normal procurement methods, that scale, that exact kind of scale, was no longer available. So they went with the next thing they had. As far as...
Okay, let's follow that. It's not available. Roger that. They can't find it. They don't make it. They had to buy a different kind of scale, different model, different manufacturer. His point is, what's the evidence you couldn't have found a used model with the same depreciation levels of the damaged property? And you could have one-for-one replaced the damaged property, absolutely, with everybody happy. Now, if, as you could tell from the earlier questions, if the evidence were, well, we looked at that and we couldn't find anything like that, then the law would clearly fleet up to, well, do the best you can. And if the new for old is the best you can do reasonably economically, then do that, and they just have to suck it up. But where's the evidence that there is no old for old, but reasonable old for old replacement?
Your Honor, I don't think there is any. And again, I think, to your point, these are going to be very fact-specific determinations. And this is a sufficiency of the evidence review. And I think there was sufficient evidence presented that this was a fair market replacement value, and no evidence put on that there were easier ways or there were readily available scales. So based on that determination, the trial court, the fact finder, made a determination that this was, in fact, a fair market replacement. I think if there had been some sort of evidence that it was relatively easy, or Wegmans could have quickly and expeditiously gotten the exact same scale, same depreciation, same age, then I think that would point towards it not the new scale not being a fair market replacement. So again, I think it's in these kind of cases it's going to be a very fact-specific determination as to what efforts the victim went into to procuring a replacement. How readily available the replacements are, and I think a lot of it's going to depend on the type of property. For example, finding a used car value is relatively easy in this day and age versus this kind of scale. You know, how do you determine what the value of that scale that was destroyed was when it was destroyed? So
to package that in legal doctrine, the Commonwealth put off evidence that supported a reasonable doubt prima facie case, and the hypothesis of innocence was just a guess. Maybe if you go to Vladivostok, you'll find a manufacturer that produces one like this with a 5-year depreciation rate on it and plug it right in, but where's the evidence of that? Is that basically what you're saying?
Yes, Your Honor, and I think your example, that might not be considered a fair market replacement value. I think that, again, that's going to be a determination for the fact finder. Do they have to go all the way to Russia and find this scale over there to replace their scale? I think in this current case, Wegmans is using its normal, as I said, it's using its normal procurement means. I don't think the statute imposes any duty on it to change its entire business practices to find this similar scale to replace a destroyed one. So it's Commonwealth's contention that is kind of tied up in that phrase fair market replacement value. That fair market replacement includes the efforts gone into to find a replacement, as well as what an adequate replacement is. And necessarily that's going to be a very fact-specific determination and depend largely on what the destroyed evidence was or what the damage is. But, Your Honors, I think the evidence in this case clearly showed that the replacement scale was a fair market replacement. Again, the layout, functionality, the design were exactly the same. Yes, sir.
Isn't what the Commonwealth had to prove is not that it was a fair replacement, but that the fair market cost of replacement was at least $1,000?
I don't know. I think it's fair market replacement value, not cost. I think cost is...
I mean, value, yeah. But yes, the $1,000 is what you have to prove. You don't have to prove how much this thing is worth that you replaced it with.
Correct, Your Honor. And of course, it, as long as there's evidence that it's well above that $1,000, we don't have to be... Commonwealth doesn't have to prove exactly what that amount
is. But doesn't that get us back to the debate that you've been having as to whether this is the fair market replacement value if you could buy it down the street used in good condition for $900? I think that brings us back to the same question, whether this is perhaps a failure of proof.
Your Honor, I think I would just reiterate what I've stated before. I think it's going to be fact specific. There was evidence put on that
I've heard you, and I understand your argument. I think perhaps just as an observation, you guys or this statute has created a problem because of the company that this property keeps. When I first read this and I looked at monuments and memorials for war veterans, and certainly those things can't be purchased and bought and replaced on the open market. And so when you put those types of things in with other property that perhaps can be, I just wonder if it is a failure of proof if Wegmans just goes to one specific dealer and that's all the evidence that we have.
Well, and it could be the Commonwealth establishes a prima facie case by saying, look, we couldn't get the scale. We had to go with a different one. And then the defendant can say, well, hang on. Your prima facie case is bogus because, in fact, there is a market for used. I mean, for all we know, these things get used until they're run in the ground, and then there isn't a used market at all. I have no idea. But there's at least some evidence of we got a replacement, there's fair market value of it, and then if the defendant wants to say, well, you know, it's a Rolls Royce and you just need a Toyota, well, then that knocks out and then it becomes a matter of weighing the evidence.
Yes, Your Honor, and I think that's the point I was trying to make, that Commonwealth put on evidence, there's no evidence to rebut that, and the fact finder found that sufficient to find that it was indeed a fair market replacement. Your Honors, again, I think the evidence in this case clearly shows that this was a fair market replacement. Again, functionality was exactly the same. The way it was used as a normal procurement process. There's testimony about that the value of that replacement was over $1,000. That being said, I would ask that you affirm the judgment of the Court of Appeals. Thank you.
Rebuttal. You have 33 seconds.
Yes, Justice. I will tell the court that we believe that, that the defendant in all criminal cases does not present evidence, and by asking the defendant...
The defendant did not present evidence? Is that what you just said?
Yes.
The defendant presented evidence. The question is, was it sufficient?
The defendant did not present evidence.
What are you talking about? You're talking about the defendant in this case did not. Right.
Mr. Spratley did not present any evidence.
You're right about that. But your argument before you left the podium was that the Commonwealth didn't present it because it was Wegmans.
Correct. And my argument is that if once the Commonwealth presents the evidence, then it is not required for the defendant to rebut it. We believe that the evidence was insufficient.
And that's why I asked the question, why is it necessary to raise that here? If the question is, did the Commonwealth present sufficient evidence? If the defendant doesn't have to present any evidence.
Correct, and I believe that the attorney for the Attorney General stated that then after the Commonwealth presents the evidence that the defendant could rebut it, and it is unnecessary for the defendant to present, and he's not required to rebut any evidence.
So if we get back to did the Commonwealth have sufficient evidence to prove the offense under the terms of this statute? That's
yes.
The whole question in this case.
And I agree with that statute. I was just commenting on the Attorney General saying that the defendant could rebut it, that he is not required to rebut it.
He's not required to, but if the Commonwealth, on any issue, establishes a prima facie case, whether it's intent, actus reus, whatever, then if credited, then that may be sufficient. And, of course, the defendant can come back and say, well, I didn't have the intent. But you're right. There's no obligation. But the point is, as the evidence sits before us, was it enough? That's what we're getting. I think we're on the same sheet of music.
I think Justice Powell has really identified the major flaw with the statute, and that is they've lumped together all kinds of things. Property, comma, memorial, comma, or not even comma, property, comma, memorial or monument. Well, memorial is property. A monument is property. Seems to me entirely unnecessary to have even said that in this statute. But the question about the ability to have a replacement value, let's talk about a memorial. Suppose a memorial is a monument of some sort. It has beautiful gargoyles on it, and it has a horse, and it has a rider, and it was done by a famous sculptor. And there aren't any other ones. There's no other thing like this at all in the world. Well, market cost of repair, let's say the damage is just so dramatic that there's no repairing these things. And there's no replacing these things. So how do you prove it? Well, the element of the offense is to show proof of the value of or damage to the property. I'm suspecting that there are cases that are going to have to be proven by expert testimony and not simply somebody that says, well, I can't find one. I can't find a scale like this. I can't find a monument like this. I can't find anything that was done by this sculptor, and it can't be repaired. So how do you prove it?
And I think I actually agree with you that in that situation that would be by an appraiser or art appraiser or somebody in the industry. And that is what my point is, that Wegmans is not a party. Wegmans is not the proof. The Commonwealth could have brought an expert to testify to prove this case.
Well, I'm not sure that that's necessary, whether they should or they shouldn't. It certainly would have been a clearer demonstration of sufficiency. But the owner of property always has the opportunity to testify to its value.
And what we believe is the owner of the property didn't testify to the value of the destroyed item. He'd only testify to what
but
he replaced.
But I think what we're missing is that the elements of the statute are in the first sentence. The next sentence, and there's only two sentences that we're dealing with here, the next sentence says, well, here's a way you can do it.
It's not the only way you can do it. And as a matter of fact, a better way would have been to have an expert. But a way to do it is proof of fair market cost of repair or fair market replacement value. That's, you can do it that way. What they did is they put the owner of the property on, and they said, well, we can't find that, but we found something that's exactly like it, and it cost us $4,000. Now, what's wrong with that testimony?
Because they found something that was exactly like it in function, but they bought a brand new one, as opposed to we don't know how long the other one had been in service.
All right, but one last question. Can you tell me where in the record I can find your objection to that testimony?
The... Your Honor, I do not specifically object to the testimony because, again, in my interpretation, that was a statement of what the sheet came in that said that this is what that where we got that we asked our purchaser from. And because I believe that it was insufficient in its face, I did not feel that I needed to object to that.
Well, you may be right. So what you did is you reserved it to the when the question was to argue the case, and the question was sufficiency of the evidence.
Correct. And we didn't believe that that purchasing record stating that this is where that we and the testimony that this is we called our supplier, the supplier said we can't find one. That is the evidence that is stated, and I didn't object to that because that is admissible evidence. And so I'm pointing to the lack of other evidence that they looked for other places. They only testified that our supplier went and looked for it, and they did not have it. So I don't believe there was an objection necessary because that is certainly part of the record, and I think it's admissible. But it's my commentary that is insufficient because the evidence that's only provided is that narrow scope where that evidence came in stating that we asked our supplier and the supplier didn't have any, and that's all the evidence that came in. There was no evidence that the supplier searched for other places or anything like that. The only evidence that came in was Wegmans asked their supplier and the supplier did not have this model.
All right. Thank you. Call the next case.